Last month, an iconic figure of several social justice movements in the United States during the 1960s and 1970s visited Little Rock to support new research efforts by UALR's Institute on Race and Ethnicity. The Institute has assembled a diverse group of people throughout the state who are all dedicated to making constructive changes to Arkansas's criminal justice system. Malcolm Glover from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock has the story.
Crowds of people stood in long lines and later packed into the University Theater on UALR's campus to listen to a lecture by longtime social activist, author, and educator Dr. Angela Davis. For over an hour, Davis talked about her life and work.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for the wonderful welcome and good evening.
Davis specifically focused her remarks on racial disparities with respect to the death penalty, life sentences, and life sentences without parole.
And I want to tell you, first of all, that I encountered the reality of the death penalty many years ago when I myself was in jail. I was fortunate enough not only to be acquitted, but I was fortunate that the state of California temporarily abolished the death sentence in 1972. Because I was in jail without bail, because I was charged with three capital crimes, I had not foreseen the possibility of being released before my trial took place. The Supreme Court ruled again that previously capital offenses would remain non-bailable. So if I hadn't gotten out when I did, precisely at that moment, I might still be in jail today, and I might not be with you this evening.
She made sure to note the various injustices that exist due to mass incarceration.
The function of freedom is to free somebody else, and not just another member of our family or a member of what we consider to be our community, but rather members of our universe, members with different racial ancestries, members with different gender identifications, different sexual orientations, different nationalities. I first became aware that we were facing a major problem with the structures and institutions of incarceration when I myself was in jail. And at that time, young people throughout the country were involved in many movements to free political prisoners, including members of the Black Panther Party, the Soledad Brothers, Lolita Lebron, and the Puerto Rican political prisoners. And many of us realized that it wasn't simply a question of political repression, but that the institution of the prison was itself racist and repressive. 25% of the world's incarcerated population lives in jails and prisons in the United States of America, whereas we constitute only 5%. Of the planet's population. Now, something is wrong with that. And how is it that this country can continue to call itself the model for democracy in the world? Imagine the state of Arkansas leading the country in terms of addressing the role that racism plays in producing such mass incarceration that we now call the United States of America a prison nation.
Davis rarely gives interviews, but following her remarks, she talked with KUAR News about her work and hopes for the country's future. Dr. Davis, I'm wondering if you feel as though there is a difference in the Angela Davis who is ingrained in so many people's memories from when you started getting involved in social activism to the Dr. Angela Davis of today. What, if anything, has changed and what has stayed the same?
Well, I'm just trying to do what I've always tried to do, and that is to help deepen people's consciousness, to convey the message that we're all in this together,
and that we have to take responsibility as a community to make changes in the world. I never saw myself as the narrative that was built up around me. I know that it was important to create a story for a campaign, but I always realized that I was who I am, right? I wasn't who other people imagined me to be. You know, oftentimes today people come up to me who are my age or so, and they tell me how odd they are to be able to meet me, and then they begin to talk about what it was like back then. And I always make the point that through me, people remember their own youth. People remember their own activism. And they remember what it felt like when we thought we could really change the world. And I'm happy. I'm happy to be that vehicle. But at the same time, I'm more than that. I am who I am. And I have to, you know, try to continue to do the work that I believe is important.
Dr. Davis says she has a lot of hope for this new generation of activists that's making a difference.
It's much more difficult now to build and sustain movements than it was 40 years ago or during the 1930s. It's because we know so much more. Our ideas are so much more complicated. You know, they're back in the 60s, we didn't talk about gender. We didn't talk about sexuality. We didn't talk about disability. We didn't talk about the environment. We didn't talk about food politics. We didn't talk about ableism. You know, now we have to figure out how to pull all of these things together and how to be attentive to the complexity of the political arenas within which we work. I think that young people are much better at that sometimes than older people, than those of us who had to learn how to do it from scratch. Because in many ways, it's given to the younger activists. That is where they start, and they will have to go somewhere else. I have a lot of hope. As I said before, I think that Occupy era was an indication of what's possible. It made it possible to talk about the economy in ways that we have not done in my entire lifetime. To talk about capitalism was always assumed to be the work only of communists who were considered to be people who should be exiled. And so now we can't actually talk about capitalism. And that's good. That's important. If the Occupy campaign or movement achieved nothing other than that, it means that it helped to change the political landscape in this country.
Dr. Davis, from your experience working with the different social change movements, what still needs to happen here in the United States?
Well, you know, sometimes we think we know where we need to go, and we discover in the process that there's so much more that needs to be done, so much that we have to rethink our goals. And in a sense, I've come to the conclusion that that is the process of freedom. It's not one thing. It's not one place. It's not one time. It's an infinite process of uncovering aspects of ourselves and our communities that we couldn't have possibly imagined before. Without the black movement, the women's movement would have been inconceivable. The gay movement, all of these movements, and those who became involved in the movement for black freedom had no idea that they were opening up a whole new world for so many people, like literally all over the world. And to me, that's what's exciting about being involved in movements for social change. We may think we know where we want to go, but then we discover that, now is the time to look a bit further, to go a bit higher. And I think that's the nature of the universe.
Dr. Angela Davis says she'll continue devoting her life to social justice causes. And as a founding member of the national organization Critical Resistance, Davis says she's dedicated to dismantling what she calls the prison industrial complex by focusing on programs and services that educate the masses, reform offenders, and transform communities. In Little Rock, I'm Malcolm Glover.